Open your New Testament, if you will. Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, looking at verses 10 and 11. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Paul says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to thee," or to me, "for the ministry." Well, once again, a pleasant good morning to you. Appreciate you being with us here as we worship God in spirit and in truth here at the Arlington Church of Christ. Those visiting, do want you to know you're a welcome, honored guest. We do hope to see you back at any chance that you may have in the near future. And we want to extend that invitation to those listening by way of radio as well to join us, as Brother Bobby has mentioned, anytime, 2500 Faulkner Springs Road here at the Arlington Church of Christ. You'd be our welcomed and our honored guest. There was a husband and wife who had been married for quite some time, on up in years. And the wife knew that the husband was forgetful. And they're sitting there at night watching a movie on Saturday night. She says, "Jerry, would you do me a favor? Would you go get me a bowl of ice cream?" And he said, "Honey, I would love to. What kind do you want?" She said, "Vanilla." He said, "I'll go get you some." She said, "No, you better write it down. Don't want you to forget." And he said, "I'm going to remember you want vanilla ice cream." She said, "Well, do you mind putting some whipped cream on top of that?" "I don't mind at all, honey." She said, "Well, you better write it down. You'll forget." He said, "I'm not going to forget. You want vanilla ice cream with whipped cream on top." She said, "Could you put some crushed pecans in a bowl to the side of that? I want to eat that with my ice cream. You better write it down." He said, "I'm not going to forget. You want pecans with your vanilla ice cream with whipped cream on top." She said, "Throw a cherry on top as well." He said, "Forget that. I won't forget it at all. I'll put your cherry on top of the whipped cream, vanilla ice cream, with the bowl of pecans." And he was in the kitchen for about 30 minutes. And she heard a lot of banging and a clanging. And he comes out of there with two scrambled eggs, two pieces of bacon, and some hash browns. She set that down. She said, "Jerry, I knew you'd forget. Where's my toast?" Okay. I had that planned before we had a mishap with the songs. I just thought I'd leave it in there at this point. I want us to talk about, in the time that we have allotted before us, three interesting individuals in the New Testament. And as you can see from the title of our presentation today, we're going to talk about Demas, we're going to talk about Mark, and we're going to talk about Luke. And one of these might be very familiar to you. In fact, you might be well acquainted with two of the three. And then the third one, we don't have a whole lot that's recorded, but what is recorded speaks volumes. What I love doing, especially as you read through the New Testament epistles, beginning with the book of Acts, really, although that's the book of the history of the church, and then beginning with Romans with the epistles, I like seeing who's named in the Bible. Paul had a good habit of naming people that he knew. Or, for instance, when he writes to the church at Rome in Romans 16, there's like 30-some-odd names in that chapter. See, Paul hadn't been to Rome yet when he writes to the Romans. But he says, "Well, I know these people, and you probably know these people as well." That kind of gives him some common ground, if you will. And so the names that Paul records through different stops, different imprisonments, and different writings, it really helps us better understand the story of the New Testament. So as we look at Demas, Mark, and Luke, as we go into this, there are three points: Demas, Mark, and Luke. And as we go through this lesson, we're going to see it typifies, if you will, church members. This morning, you are probably either a Demas, or you're a Mark, or you're a Luke. So let's see which one we are as we study this together. So number one is Demas. Demas, according to 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me." Well, that's not really good commending words to start out this lesson, is it? "Demas has forsaken me." Now, you could just read that, as I'm sure we all have done, and move on to the next verse and say, okay, there was a guy named Demas. He quit walking with Paul. Well, who was Demas? Let's do a little bit of a character study. Go to the little book of Philemon. Titus, and then you get Philemon. And Philemon just got 25 verses. Look at Philemon, verse number 24, because Demas was a fellow laborer with Paul. See, they had a good companionship. Look at Philemon, verse 24. He says, Marcus, or Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, or Luke, my fellow laborers. So we see Demas worked with Paul in some of his missionary journeys. Maybe he helped him travel. You know, travel back then on a missionary journey was a lot more difficult of a task than it is for us today to travel, trying to arrange your ship, where it's going to go, when it's going to let you off. So Demas worked with Paul. But go back to the book of Colossians, if you will. That beautiful little epistle to the church at Colossae. Because when Paul is at Rome, Demas is there. Paul going to Rome, thinking about Colossians 4 and verse number 14. And we'll come back to at least this thought when we get to our third fellow. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Well, they have to be there as Paul is writing this, or as Paul is inspired, I should say, and then he's putting these words down to paper. Paul would frequently list. So the church at Colossae, they knew who Luke was, and they know who Demas was. I don't exactly know what Demas did. It doesn't matter. But the church at Colossae did. There's no imitation of laxity. We can tell at this point, man, he's on fire. He's doing what he should be doing. But the problem happens is when 2 Timothy is written, that's during Paul's second Roman imprisonment, there is some time has passed. We see Demas has gone back. Demas, who used to run alongside Paul in his missionary journeys, he was a fellow laborer, he was well known throughout the brotherhood. By the time you get to 2 Timothy, from what we can tell, it's probably Paul's last letter, he's left him. He's no longer walking with Paul, no longer preaching with Paul. And I want you to notice this. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Bible tells us what our attitude should be toward things of the world. Because Demas has forsaken me, loving the things of the present world. So I know what happened to him. He was walking with Paul, running with Paul, preaching with Paul. And then the world starts enticing him just a little bit more. The world starts showing him some allurements, if you will. And he starts to go after those and quits going after God. Notice here the classification of sin. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father, or the will of God, abideth forever. See, John says you can't love the things of the world and love God. Well, it's evident that Demas started loving the things of the world too much, and he fell away, if you will. Go back to the book of James, if you will. James chapter 4, and verse number 14. James 4:14, a key text on the fragility of life and just how little a time we truly have on this earth. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life, James asked. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. James is saying you better make the most of the time that you have, because we're not on this earth for a long time at all. Now it may seem long as you live it, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not a long time. It's like the dew in the morning, the fog, and it will be burned away. Jesus says in Matthew 6:24 that no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hold the one, hate the other, love the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon, or you cannot serve God in riches. Well, evidently, Demas was having that little battle in and amongst himself. Do I love God? Do I love the world? And we know who won that battle. Because Paul says he's left him. You know, think about the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. He says, I have done all these things from my youth. He says to Christ, what should I do to inherit eternal life? I've kept the commandments from my youth up. And Jesus says, that's good. You lack one thing. Take what you have, give it to the poor. But he wouldn't do that. He had too many possessions. See, the rich young ruler's problem is not that he had possessions. It's that he loved them too much. It's not wrong to have possessions. It is wrong when you put them in front of God. We see the rich young ruler, his problem is he loved the world's possessions too much. And evidently Demas did, because he fell away. Paul talks about lovers of pleasure in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4. We see Demas must have loved the pleasures of the world. I know that. If you're looking at the parable of the souls Jesus gives in Luke chapter 11, flip there real quick, then we'll move on to our next character. Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. The parable of the soils. Well, Luke's account of it anyways. He says, now the parable is this. He talks about a sower goes out to sow, sows seed, lands on four different kinds of ground, three bad and the one good one. By the wayside, by on stony ground or on a rock, thorny ground, and then the good ground. Now the parable is this, Jesus says, Luke 8 and 11, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil, takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they believe receive the word with joy and have no root, which for a while believe, but in the time of temptation fall away. They which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring forth no fruit to perfection. Well, to me, that kind of sounds like Demas, doesn't it? Evidently, he liked the cares of the world too much, so he's that thorny ground. Dear friends, he had a good beginning, but a bad end. He was walking with Paul, preaching and teaching with Paul. But the last writings of Paul says he has forsaken me. And sadly, there are too many members in the Lord's church today that their name should be Demas. Because for a while they were walking with the Lord. For a while they were letting the seed, the Word of God, germinate and grow. And then they let the cares of the world choke it out. They're here faithfully. And then they miss Wednesday night. Then they miss two Wednesday nights. And then they miss one of the services on Sunday. And then they miss the Bible study on Sunday. And before you know it, they miss Sunday altogether. They're those that the Word of God's trying to grow, but the world sucks it out. They'd be Demas. Friends, don't be a Demas. The church has too many Demases, not the restaurant in Murfreesboro. The church has too many Demases, doesn't need another one. Don't be a Demas. Number two, let's talk about Mark. Go back to our lesson text, if you will, of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11. This is really the second sentence in that verse. So skip that first sentence about Luke. We'll bring that here in a minute to our thoughts. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11. He says, take Mark. Now remember, he's writing to Timothy. He's left Timothy in Ephesus to go preach and teach. So he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. There is a necessity for Paul to see Mark. Now here's what's interesting. Paul and Mark used to be running buddies as well. You better know him as John Mark. He's evident through the gospel accounts more as a secondary character. There's parts where we could say that might have been him. But he really shows up in the book of Acts. In fact, in Acts chapter 12, if you want to flip to chapter 13 with me. In Acts chapter 12, when Peter is released from prison, he goes to John Mark's mother's house, whose name also happened to be Mary. Mark goes on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas and Mark. Oftentimes we focus on Paul and Barnabas and leave out the Mark part, but I believe their running buddies were important. Once you notice here in verse chapter 13 and verse number 13, and when Paul and his company they'd loosed from Paphos, They came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John Mark, who we're talking about, he departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. Now, what exactly caused John Mark to leave? Well, the Bible doesn't exactly say. The thought is that he may have just kind of gone a different way in their journey. And it just happened to be here at Perga in Pamphylia that he decided to go back to Jerusalem. But evidently something happened. He was done. He was, whatever the case may be, he quits traveling with them. Look at chapter 15, beginning in verse 36. Now you got to remember, Paul and Barnabas did the first missionary journey. That was a good dynamic duo, preaching and teaching. There's now a wedge between the two of them, and his name is John Mark. In fact, John Mark is threatening to split up Paul and Barnabas. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren," talking about a second missionary journey, "in every city we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not it good to take them with him, because he had departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And when the contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder, one to the other. So Barnabas took Mark, and he went to Cyprus. Paul took Silas, and they departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So the dynamic duo that went on the first missionary journey, they're split over John Mark. Now here's a good way to resolve conflicts in the church. Instead of everybody sitting back and saying, "Well, we're not going to do anything," they both start working, and now you've got two teams. Did you catch that? Barnabas takes John Mark, and he takes him over to the island of Cyprus. Paul and Silas begin the second missionary journey. So that's kind of a little bit of a history. By the way, it's evidently thought this would be the same Mark who wrote the second gospel account of Mark. And if it's the guy who wrote the second gospel account of Mark, he was probably one of the 70 that Christ set out in pairs. It's thought that it might have been at John Mark's house that Jesus appears in John chapter 20, after the resurrection, when Thomas is absent, then he's there 8 days later. It's historically thought that. It's also thought that this would be the same Mark, that unnamed person in the book of Mark, who fled almost naked at the crucifixion of Christ. Of course, to be honest, if I had written a book, I probably wouldn't have said that I might have fled naked either, but that's just me. It's probably thought this is the same Mark. But I want you to notice here in Acts chapter 15, Paul says it's not good to take him. There is now a dividing line. Now this was in Acts, in the book of Acts. You're still in the early 40s, mid-40s at this point. About 20 years later, Paul changes his tune. 20 years ago, he said, I can't work with him. He deserted us. But now in prison, he says, "Bring me John Mark. Bring Mark to me." See, Mark had proven himself. Mark had done great work for the kingdom. There's a great contrast, right? Demas had a good start and a bad end. Mark had a good start, a terrible middle, but now he's going to have a good end. There's a great contrast between the two. In fact, Mark is what we wish would happen to the Demases of the world, as they would come back and be profitable again for the Lord. Dear friends, oftentimes the person who corrects and overcomes handicaps is better than those that didn't have them at all, because now they're a great source of information for someone else. I know Christians. I know preachers who have struggled with addiction, with pornography, with gambling, with alcoholism, with drugs. You name it. I know somebody in the church that's probably done it. And if I know a brother or sister struggling with that, I say, "You need to talk to so-and-so." Why? Because he's been where you are and he came out of it. Look at him now. See, Mark's a great example of, you don't want to fall away. You don't want to turn away because look what happened to me. Thank goodness I turned back. But it doesn't always happen. I think about examples like David and Solomon. You know, David turned back to God after his sin with Bathsheba. Solomon sinned again and again and never turned back to God. That was his undoing. Think about in Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. He returns, and then who has the sour attitude? It's the older brother. "Well, I've been here the whole time, Dad. You never threw me a party." See, the one that returned, he had a better outcome. Dear friends, we think about Mark. There are many Marks, not our Mark Prater, but there are many Marks in the Lord's church. There are many of them, and I tell you what, go up into Galatians chapter 6 and we move on. For the Marks that are in the church, we should help them. Those that were on fire for a while, and now they're not faithful. Maybe there was a contention. Maybe they stopped going to worship. Whatever the case may be, we as Christians should help them. Notice Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, Paul's writing to Christians, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In essence, Paul is saying, dear Christians, you find the marks out there and you try to help bring them back. You try to make it a point to find a way they are valuable. Now, what exactly would Mark do to help Paul? I don't know. But Paul, by inspiration, saw enough need for Mark's assistance that he uses Holy Scripture to say, bring Mark with you. When you come, he is profitable. But we move on to our final character. Go back to our lesson text. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11. Five words. In fact, if you really stop and think about it, these may be five of the saddest words in a row in Scripture. They're not the saddest. I could preach you a lesson on what I think those are in John 6. Maybe others. But I want you to notice here, only Luke is with me. What do you mean, Paul? After all these missionary journeys, three missionary journeys and a fourth trip that eventually takes you to Rome, only Luke's with you. What do you mean? All those good brothers, sisters you met along the way, some who were traveling companions from city to city, yeah, but only Luke is with me. Only one person at the moment is standing beside Paul. Well, what do we know about Luke? Go to the book of Acts, if you will. Here's something that I love studying. So Luke, as we can tell, it's commonly thought that Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. I don't dispute that at all. Your religious scholars who have all these degrees, they want to debate it, but Luke wrote it. Luke also wrote Acts. If you ask me, it's probably one big letter, and he splits it off. You got part one, part two. He's writing to tell the history of Jesus or the beginning of His miracles, and then he writes about the beginning of His church. But I want you to notice here something that can often be overlooked in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 10. Now they're coming in, beginning on that second missionary journey as we were just studying in chapter 15. They're going to come into a city of Philippi. That's where they're trying to get to. Then they got to go to Macedonia and all these places. Going to wind up in Philippi. But look at verse number 10. Paul sees a vision. You know, we sing the song, Send the Light. We have heard the Macedonian call today is taken from this passage. Because Paul sees a vision of a man in Macedonia. It says, come help us. We go out and seek the lost, right? After Paul had seen the vision, verse 10, immediately we endeavor to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Did you catch those two little words? We, us. You can only say those words if you're there. If you're writing it second hand, and Paul endeavored to go, they thought, no, no. Luke says, we endeavored for us. Luke is there. To me, that's why Acts is such a beautiful book, because Luke's writing this as a first-hand account. He is there as the action happens. Look in chapter 20 and verse number 5. And that's just a subtle thing. You'll pick up on it every now and then. And then you can tell at parts in the latter part where maybe Luke wasn't right with Paul. So it kind of changes tenses. Then it picks back up. But Acts 20 and verse 5, these going before tarried for us at Troas. So from Troas to Philippi, first missionary journey that he's on here. Join Paul at Philippi on that third journey. Go to chapter 21, verse number 28. Crying out, men of Israel, this is the man that teacheth all men everywhere, against the people and the law and the place, and further brought Greeks into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. See, Luke is not a Jew. Luke's a Gentile. Luke's a medical doctor. We've already read he's the beloved physician. That's why we call him Dr. Luke. That's why I love reading his account of the miracles in Acts, because he's writing it as if he's a medical doctor. Oh, well, they was crippled from birth, so that's something you'd put in your medical charts. There's uproar in chapter 21 because Paul brought Luke with him. And Luke is a Greek. And normally you wouldn't allow him to come in to worship. But see, that was the old law, and they're not living under that law anymore. Two more passages and we move on. Chapter 27 and verse number 1. Chapter 27 and verse 1. From Jerusalem, then they're going to go to Rome. Really starting about chapter 21, 22, 23, Paul's just trying to get to Rome. He's got to appeal his cause before Caesar. He has to make stops along the way, but the end goal is Rome, so you can't stay anywhere too long. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. We should go to Italy. That means Luke is there. And also, chapter 28, verse number 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners of the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself, and a soldier kept him. We made it to Rome. That's why Acts is such a masterpiece, dear friends, because Luke is there. Now, we get to his second imprisonment, and Luke is Paul's standby, if you will. Demas sitting there. He's turned his back on Paul. He's forsaken Paul. Mark's not there. He wishes Mark was there. Crescens, he's not there. Titus, you know the Titus? He's not there. Only Luke is with Paul. Now, Paul's under house arrest, so it's not really in a prison like we would think, down the street prison or a jail, but more under supervised house arrest. It's where Paul does a lot of his writing. He's there for 2 years. And so Luke is there, and Luke kind of hangs out, but he's not in the house the same way that Paul is. But Luke is still there. Can you imagine at night those stories they're swapping? Oh man, you remember when we went to Malta? Do you remember when we sailed here and sailed just to pass the time away? Dear friends, the church has some Lukes, but too few to depend upon. I'm here to say there's not enough Lukes in the Lord's church. I wish there were more Lukes. See, Luke's sticking by. Luke's there to the very end of Paul's life. He's hanging with Paul, there to help Paul as needed. Oh, dear friends, where would the church be if we had more Lukes? If we were all a Luke, where would the church be? Well, I feel like we'd have to build a new building and then a new building and then a new building. And we would run out of people to convert if the whole church was filled with nothing but Lukes, which would be a good problem, by the way. Three little interesting words, short, simple names in Scripture that are easy to overlook at the end of a beautiful letter. Three closing questions for you. Don't answer them aloud, please, but answer them to yourselves. Are you a Demas? Are you a Demas this morning? Have you left the Lord's church? Now, I know you're here, but you can sit here and not be living right. Are you a Demas? Have you forsaken the Lord? Don't do that. Are you a Mark? Was there some kind of contention and you quit going for a while? Come back because you were profitable for the ministry. See, God wants you. God has a use for you in His kingdom because there's someone else that you can share the gospel with that won't listen to me, or they won't listen to Bobby or Brad. They won't listen to anybody but you. You're profitable to God. So profitable, He sent His Son to die for you. Are you a Mark or are you a Luke? Are you hanging in there till that very end? If you are, then you need to keep going. That's when you receive that crown of life. Dear friends, be a Luke. And Lord's Church, be a Luke. Maybe you've fallen away. You need to come back and repent of your sins. Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. We're going to sing the invitation song to encourage you to become a Christian. There's a great day coming, and oh, how great it is. Why not be ready for that day by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized? You go down that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. If you haven't done that this morning, why not do so? If you have, keep going. If you need prayers for strength and forgiveness, we're here for that as well. If we can help you in any way at all, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.